case number 6, 22-226.
Good one.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sir, please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name as well as your witness.
I have two witnesses, so I'll bring one at a time, or should we all come up at the same time?
We can do one at a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
My name is Lieutenant Brian Weir. Last name is W-E-I-R with the Trumbull Police Department. My witness is Detective Dan Wheeler, W-H-E-E-L-E-R.
Did you say detective?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Counsel?
Good afternoon, Lindy Urso for Mr. Huertas.
Okay, we do have your appearance in the file, thank you.
And again, you don't have to use his name, you can use the...
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You can if you
want. You
can
waive it, it's a few.
It's my first go-around here.
No problem, that's up to you, so.
Seeing how it goes.
You've had a lot of time to watch.
You can't really hear back there, you guys can barely hear here.
Yeah, it's been a tough day. All right, Lieutenant, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. The appellant turned in their signed and notarized pistol permit application on March 17th, 2021. On the appellant's submitted application, the appellant indicated to have been arrested by the issuing authority and charged with risk of injury to a minor, disorderly conduct, second degree, threatening, and third degree sexual assault on May 22nd, 2017, and that the case had been nollied. This is a case in which I have personally been involved in the investigation. The appellant also indicated within the past 5 years, the appellant had been the subject of a protective order or restraining order issued by a court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person, regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case. The appellant also told the issuing authority that the appellant has ADHD and bipolar disorder. A check of the issuing authority's in-house computer system regarding the appellant resulted in various contacts with the issuing authority, in particular the sexual assault complaint, as indicated by the appellant, where a 10-year-old female had been continuously sexually assaulted by the appellant. There was also an assist other agency case where the issuing authority assisted a nearby police department with an execution of a search warrant at the appellant's residence. The investigating agency investigated a shooting in their jurisdiction where the appellant was named as the shooter, which led to the search warrant of the appellant's residence, which is another investigation regarding the appellant that I was also personally involved in. Based on the history of criminal investigations that the appellant has made, has been the subject of involving the issuing authority and nearby police department, the appellant's acts of violence against others, the appellant's stating that they have ADHD and bipolar disorder, and the appellant's character has shown to be concerning and not by showing proper suitability to be legally issued a pistol permit. Therefore, the issuing authority denied the appellant's pistol permit on July 13, 2021, based on suitability, crimes of violence against others, and previous criminal history, and the issuing authority stands behind this denial. Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. And just for the record, I represented the applicant in connection with that arrest that involving the Trumbull police, his only arrest in his life. In that case, at the time he was living, he had a niece of his who was living at the house temporarily because her mother had a drug issue, and so the grandmother, the applicant's mother, had temporary custody. And around that same time, the mother had cleaned herself up, apparently was trying to get the custody back through DCF and was not succeeding, and then these allegations happened. And she got custody back, obviously, because the girl couldn't stay in the same house. Mr. Huertas, the applicant went to the Trumbull Police Department, immediately gave a full statement, video recorded statement, maintained his innocence from minute one. The case pended. There was a guardian ad litem appointed for the young lady. The case was ultimately nollied, not because she wasn't around, she was around. They, at one point, offered him a misdemeanor. He refused to take a misdemeanor. He was prepared to go to trial. Ultimately, the state dropped the case. The Derby case, I have some knowledge of that as well, and perhaps the witnesses can clear it up, but Mr. Huertas had a brother living in the house, I'm sorry, the applicant had a brother living in his house at that time who had previously done 10 years from the age of 16 to 26 in jail for an assault one shooting. And I have information, I advised the brother at the time, it's my understanding he was the person that was a possible suspect in the shooting, not the applicant. And he was living in the house, and that's why they searched the house. Nothing to do with this young man. And the ADHD bipolar, as I recall, during the interview, he was asked, do you have any issues? And he indicated he had previously been diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar back in grade school. But he has not had any issues or treatment since school for that. He's 26 years old. He's been working for the last 8 years for the city of Stratford, first as a garbage man, then he transferred to the Parks Department. He's since been promoted. He's going to be going for his CDL to get further advancement. He's got no criminal convictions whatsoever. I don't know anything about the protective order. I didn't see his application. We'll let him talk about that. I don't know if he's referring to a protective order that issued in connection with the arrest, but I don't believe there was a separate protective order. And that's all I have for now. Thank you. Okay.
Lieutenant, you may proceed.
The applicant had their pistol permit application notarized and turned into the issuing authority on March 17, 2021, when the applicant was also fingerprinted. On the appellant's submitted application, the appellant answered the following questions accordingly. Have you ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction? The appellant checked the yes box and wrote, arrest, risk of injury to a minor, disorderly conduct, second degree threatening, and third degree sexual assault. In Trumbull, Connecticut, May 22, 2017. Case Nolly. Have you ever been convicted under laws of this state or the laws of another jurisdiction? The appellant checked the no box. Within the question, within the past five years, have you been the subject of a protective order or restraining order issued by a court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person, regardless of the outcome or result of any related criminal case? The appellant checked the yes box and wrote Bridgeport Superior Court. A check of the issuing authority's in-house computer system regarding the appellant resulted in various police contacts with the issuing authority. In particular, January 22, 2017, the sexual assault complaint. Complaint reported that their 10-year-old daughter had been continuously sexually assaulted by the appellant. DCF was involved and the caseworker was very concerned that the state and stated that the victim was sincere and truthful about being raped. The victim stated that she had been raped by the appellant on several occasions, and the appellant threatened to kill her if she told anyone. The victim's story was consistent and corroborated by others. A forensic interview was also conducted, which described the same accusations, and learned that these assaults had been occurring once a week for approximately 2 years, with the last time occurring approximately 3 to 4 weeks prior to the victim telling anyone. The issuing authority investigated these matters, where the appellant denied the accusations, and stated that the appellant has ADHD, bipolar disorder, and that the appellant had been on lithium medication in the past. A warrant for the appellant's arrest was applied for and signed by Detective Wheeler and I on May 8, 2017 for the charge of sexual assault third degree, threatening second degree, risk of injury to a minor, and disorderly conduct. The arrest warrant was later approved by the Superior Court and a $50,000 bond was placed on the appellant. November 22, 2017, the issuing authority had an assist other agency case. The issuing authority assisted a nearby police department with an execution of a search warrant at the appellant's residence. The investigating police agency was investigating a shooting in their jurisdiction where a vehicle was struck with 7.62 ammunition. The investigating police department requests the assistance of the Southwest Regional Emergency Response Team, which is a regional SWAT team, to execute the search warrant at the appellant's residence to secure the residence and make it safe prior to being searched by the investigating agency due to the seriousness and extreme violent crimes being investigated, especially involving these illegal and reckless shooting of an assault type rifle. During that time, I was a detective sergeant and a member of the Southwest Regional Emergency Response Team, in which I was part of the security of the applicant's residence prior to the search by the investigating police agency. During the search warrant execution, 5.7, 223, 9mm, and 38 special bullets, as well as two bulletproof vests, were all recovered and seized from the appellant's residence. based on a history that the appellant has had with both the issuing authority and the other nearby police department, the seriousness of these police investigations, the criminal activities that the appellant has been involved in, that the issuing authority has firsthand knowledge of, the appellant's self-admission of being bipolar with ADHD, the appellant's character has shown to be extremely concerning, especially when it comes to the safety of others, to include small children and even family members, and not showing proper suitability for the appellant to be legally or morally issued a pistol permit. Therefore, the issuing authority believes that a denial of the appellant's pistol permit is justified based on suitability, crimes of violence against others, mental health issues, and previous criminal history. Thank you.
Counsel, do you have questions for the lieutenant?
Yes, please, thank you. Good afternoon, Lieutenant. Were you involved in the investigation? I know Detective Wheeler was, I remember that name. Were you involved in the investigation of the sex assault allegation?
Just over road reports, sidewalk on reports.
So you were like the supervisor at the time?
Correct.
Now you indicated there that the complainant was the child's mother, correct? The initial complainant, I believe you said in your statement?
If that's what I said, correct.
Did you come to find out that she had lost custody of that child at previous time?
I did not.
No. You indicated that her statements, the child's statements, were corroborated. Do you know in what way her statements were corroborated?
I don't.
Do you recall? Were you present when Mr. Huerta, the applicant, let Trumbull Police search his entire house and photograph his house and photograph the room where these incidents allegedly occurred?
I was on scene, yes.
And do you recall the laundry room where these things allegedly occurred, that it didn't have any door covering it?
I do not recall.
You don't remember that?
No.
Do you remember other people in the family were interviewed at some point in the investigation?
I don't want to speculate, but I would imagine yes, but that wasn't our investigation.
Do you remember other residents of the house being interviewed or speaking to you guys?
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Which case are we talking about?
This is the sex assault allegation.
That I don't recall.
Okay. You don't recall anybody telling Trumbull Police that the applicant was never alone in the house with the complaining child?
I don't recall. If it's in a report, yeah.
And with respect to it was Derby, right? Derby Police, I believe you said, or maybe?
I didn't, but yes.
That's what's in your denial letter, right?
Correct.
With respect to that incident, do you have any police report that indicates today or anywhere that indicates that the applicant was the subject of the search warrant and he was the suspect in the shooting?
I don't recall if he was a suspect. Like I said, it wasn't my investigation. We assisted them being secure in the house.
But you, in your denial letter, you said you did indicate that he was identified as the shooter, right?
Then that's what I told, correct.
But you don't know whether he was or not, as you sit here today, identified as the shooter?
Correct.
And did you bring with you any Derby police officer or Derby incident report?
I have a witness here, correct.
From Derby?
Correct.
Okay. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Does the board have questions for the lieutenant? Seeing none, did you? Okay, next witness.
Detective Daniel Wheeler.
Okay. On January 23rd, 2017, I was assigned the sexual assault case. It was case number 17858 for further investigation. The victim, a 10-year-old girl, had disclosed to a young friend that she had been sexually assaulted by her uncle, the appellant. The friend encouraged her to tell someone that she trusted about what was going on. The 10-year-old girl eventually told her brother.
Can I just object at this time? Because this is my first one, but I heard you earlier say you don't take any evidence for matters that are statutorily were statutory sealed or dismissed.
Correct.
And this case, the police report shouldn't exist for this particular sex assault.
Are you reading from a police report?
I'm just reading some notes I made.
These are his own notes.
So
when did you make the notes?
I made them yesterday, so I could speak more clearly and not forget anything.
All right, well, you should be speaking from personal recollection. So I'll sustain the objection if you want to either ask him questions about his recollection, but it's supposed to be from his personal recollection. Or you can just, you can tell.
Do you like me to just go off my memory?
Remember, yeah.
Then is that more suitable? So yes, back in 2017, I was assigned a case for investigation. The 10-year-old girl told one of her friends via iPad. Her friend told her that she had to tell somebody. She ended up telling her brother, who helped her tell her mother. Once the investigation came to light, obviously DCF was involved with the investigation. DCF felt the girl was sincere and being honest, so a forensic interview took place next. During the interview, she said that he began by having her touch his penis with her hand. It continued to having her place his penis, trying to put his penis into her butthole, and by rubbing it on that area, and eventually also led to the vaginal area as well. She said that it happened about 2 to 3 times. I'm sorry, she said that it happened, I can't remember the frequency that she said it happened, but it was quite often. And after each event, he said that he would kill her if she told anybody. After the forensic interview, we did reach out to them, and he denied the allegations. They did cooperate with the investigation, allow us into the house to take the pictures, like the attorney said. All said and done, an arrest warrant was applied for. It was signed by a prosecutor and judge. They felt there was probable cause, and he was arrested for that charge.
Question, Cross.
So in addition to letting you in the house, he gave a full recorded, video recorded, audio recorded statement, correct?
Yes.
And then I think that same day, you came to the house and he let you go in there and take pictures of the whole house, wherever you wanted to, right?
Yes.
Do you recall that the allegations of the young lady centered around the laundry room on the downstairs level?
Yes.
And do you recall that laundry room was constructed in such a way that it could fit 2 doors, but that there were no doors?
I recall it was an open room.
Well, pretty wide open, right?
Yeah.
And you recall noting that learning that there were people living on that floor as well, that were sleeping, that was their bedrooms down there, and things like that?
I recall that there was other bedrooms down there, but I can't tell you, you know, exactly when it happened, if people were homes.
Right, but if you recall there were
bedrooms. There's other areas down there.
On that floor. And do you recall speaking with anybody else in the family?
Well, obviously the mother, right?
The mother of the child?
The mother of the child. The grandmother, I don't think, spoke with us.
Did you speak to the applicant's grandmother, maybe? Did you speak to anybody? Didn't you speak to somebody in the family who indicated to you that, schedule-wise, it never occurred that the applicant was alone in the house with the complainant?
That's what they said, yes.
And there was some testimony by Lieutenant Weir about, in his prepared statement, about her story being corroborated, her story of the sexual assault being corroborated. As you sit here, do you recall what, if anything, corroborated her allegations?
I think during a lot of sexual assaults, the way it comes out is often looked at as corroboration. So I think the fact that she told her other 10-year-old friend, and then her brother looking into the iPad to see the conversation, and then, you know, sounded like some emotions kind of came up when that happened, and the mother came out to say what was going on, and that I think the corroboration he was referring to is how it came out.
And did you learn, so that's it, there's nothing objective other than the way it was disclosed, nothing else corroborated what she said?
Going off the top of my head, I'm not, you know, I don't have the whole case in front of me right now, so.
Were the reports destroyed? Do the reports still exist in this case? Because I've always wondered, they're supposed to be destroyed, but do they get destroyed after 13 months, after a knowledge? Do those reports still exist?
I'm not sure what records does.
So something may exist, you don't know?
I don't know how that works with them.
The mother of the complaining witness, did you not in fact learn that at the time of the allegations she was actively trying to get her daughter, custody of her daughter back?
I don't remember that part.
Nothing further.
Does the board have questions?
Is there an explanation? The case was eventually nollied. Just want to understand what was the result of it. It makes some pretty strong allegations. They're being questioned. What was the result besides a nollie?
It didn't go to trial, so the attorney would have to probably fill you in on that portion. I don't know. My answer is I don't know.
There's generally two ways cases are nollied. Either the state can't find a witness or a reluctant witness, or they don't believe they can prove their case ultimately. In this case, the witness, I thought it lasted way longer than it needed. It pended for a long time because the child had a guardian ad litem who said she's ready to go. And ultimately, the state decided they didn't think they could prove it, and they nollied the case. And like I said, they had offered him a misdemeanor, which is a no-brainer when you charge with serious sex offenses. If you're guilty, he wouldn't take anything. So he was cooperative from minute one. He maintained his innocence from minute one and never wavered.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Next witness.
What did you call him? Detective DeMora?
Can we get the detective spelling of his last name and...
First name is Gino, G-I-N-O.
Okay.
Last name is DeMauro, D-I-M-A-U-R-O, the third. Derby Police Department, yeah, detective.
So
as Lieutenant Weir stated before, our department became involved in this investigation. We had a shooting that occurred in 2017 in Derby. Within a couple days of the investigation, the Huertas family were revealed as suspects for being involved in the shooting. We worked with the Ansonia Police Department gathering video of suspect vehicle, which matched ours, male descriptions, which matched our shooter, along with following up with the Trumbull Police Department, where they lived at the time, and gathering information on them. Our shooting occurred in August. We did a search warrant in, I believe, November of their residence. At that time, the father was a convicted felon, should have no firearms. I believe his permit was revoked as well. There was no other permit holder in the household. Search warrant execution revealed two bulletproof vests, roughly 90 ammunition from assault rifle ammunition rounds, along with a single 38 bullet and a single 9mm bullet. The bulletproof vests, two of them, along with the assault rifle ammunition, was located in the appellate's closet in his bedroom.
Detective DeMora, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So you indicate that the Huertas family was revealed as suspects?
Correct. He also has a twin brother, and obviously resides with his father as well. It was a male shooter.
Can I just have a moment?
Sure.
He also, did you know, I mean, you did some investigation on the family.
Correct.
The Huertas family, right? And did any of the Huertas sons, how many sons, do you remember how many sons lived in that?
That I'm aware of, there's triplets, so there's the appellant, also a twin brother and sister.
And the twin brother has no criminal record or anything like that, right?
Not at the time, I do not believe so.
And there's another brother, right? There was another brother who did have a significant criminal history?
Our investigation led to two brothers, the appellant and the twin, from video that was in the Ansonia Police Department. So if there's a third, he was not involved in that investigation.
Do you have a copy of the search warrant affidavit or anything that... Let me ask you a question. Did the search warrant affidavit indicate the name of the suspect or suspects that you were investigating?
The Huertas family, the residents.
Just the family?
Correct.
You didn't name any particular individual?
No, it did not.
So you're just going on your memory that it was the two of the two boys that were triplets that were the suspect?
The search warrant led us to that house. I'll take a step back further. The shooting occurred at 11:15 on the 17th. At 10:45, prior to that, Ansonia Police Department was investigating a case where the appellant's sister was the sex assault victim. So their vehicle, suspect vehicle, matches our, their vehicle that they arrived in the Ansonia Police Department matches our suspect vehicle. So within that half hour time frame, we have them following the vehicle that was fired upon from Ansonia Police Department. We have the shooting occurs roughly half hour later. From that video from Ansonia PD, we have the appellant and the father, and we one other brother, I'm not sure which one, leave Ansonia PD, get into the vehicle.
So you're not, as you sit here, you don't recall that one of his brothers, non-triplet Jordan, had been in jail for shooting somebody?
I believe Jordan did come up in my police report, but at that time, maybe with description or where he was at the time of the event, was not a suspect as much as the appellant or his brother, Fatis.
What's your brother's name? Yeah, Fatis. So you had video that actually showed the suspect in the shooting?
We have video of the suspect vehicle that matches witness and video from our residents in town. And we also have them leaving the Ansonia Police Department, getting into that same vehicle. That same vehicle.
And then did you, so I thought you said earlier that the video was consistent with the two brothers.
Correct, they're inside the lobby of the police department.
They were at the police department.
Correct.
And you're saying you made the assumption because their they were at the police department and their sister was raped, that maybe they were the two, maybe one of them was one of them that did the shooting.
Jordan was not at the Ansonia Police Department that night.
Right, but do you,
that left two.
You can connect the people that were at the police department to the shooting?
It was the family, non-Jordan, correct.
Because of the vehicle?
Because of the who's in the lobby.
No, but who, how do you know who did the shooting? What evidence
do you have?
What evidence do you have tying the shooting incident to the people that were at the police department?
Your appellant struck out more than any other in the family due to, once we gathered information with Trumbull Police Department, the appellant was recently arrested for the sex assault in May, I believe, of 2017. During that investigation, his cell phone is seized. On his cell phone, there's still images of him holding an assault rifle. Social media searches of the appellant provides him shooting an AR-15 at an unknown range. So at that point, the appellant was also being looked at as the suspect.
Did you ever question the appellant?
We contacted him with no callback.
You never contacted his attorney, right? He had an attorney.
I did not speak to him prior to the search warrant.
Did you speak to him after the search warrant?
I do not believe he was home at the time of the search warrant.
Did you ever follow up your investigation of the appellant as a potential suspect?
I did not talk to him after the search warrant.
Did you ever do anything to follow up on whether or not he was the shooter?
Correct. We continued the investigation, but at that point, we could not determine who the male shooter was.
But you know it was a male shooter because?
Witness description.
And that was a nighttime shooting?
It was a nighttime shooting.
So other than the fact that he had a pending sexual assault case that was gnarly, prior to the search warrant, just the fact that he was at the police department with his family reporting that their sister was raped, that's the information that led you to think he might be a suspect?
In that shooting, correct. The appellant arrived in a Chevy Malibu, which shortly after the shooting occurred, he had tried selling on Facebook Marketplace or something that.
He arrived where with the Chevy Malibu?
To the Ansonia Police Department, and the suspect vehicle in our shooting was a Chevy Malibu.
Who?
Who was that car registered to?
It's registered to the appellant's father. At the time of the shooting, let me take a step back, at the time of the Ansonia Police Department sexual assault investigation, when that vehicle leaves, the father's still on scene at the Ansonia Police Department.
And
the shooting occurred within half an hour while the father's still at the police department.
And who else was at the police department? It was,
I believe, obviously the sister is there, Sindel. She was the victim. I believe the father was definitely there. And I'm not sure if the appellant's mother was there.
And the appellant.
Correct. As the family is leaving the Ansonia Police Department, arriving at the police department, the suspect for the sex assault is sitting in the lobby, and the appellant's father, and they walk by and witness the suspect for the sex assault and his friend. Within half an hour,
well, it was her boyfriend.
Suspect,
wasn't her boyfriend at the time?
I'm not sure at the time, wasn't my investigation. But within half an hour, that suspect and his friend, their vehicle was shot at.
And when the eyewitness to the shooting, was there any other females in the car at the time of the shooting?
In which vehicle?
The Chevy Malibu?
Not to my knowledge. Only the driver exits the vehicle with a long gun. We assumed an AR-15, fires three shots, throws the long gun back into the back seat of the vehicle, and they leave.
And did you ever question Jordan Huertas about this?
I did not.
Did anybody from your department ever question Jordan Huertas?
Not to my knowledge.
So the investigation just died?
Correct.
Was there ever an arrest made in a sexual assault?
It's not my investigation.
To your knowledge, was there ever an arrest made in the sexual assault case?
Not to my knowledge. You referring to the Ansonia Police Department investigation?
Yeah,
assault?
Yeah. They're
not to my knowledge.
Okay. Nothing further.
Does the board have questions?
So the theory was that the appellant's sister was a victim of a crime.
Correct.
The alleged perpetrator was seen at the Ansonia PD.
Correct.
You have video of the appellant and other family members in the lobby, I guess, from the Ansonia PD cameras.
Correct.
At some point, the appellant and the appellant's brother leave.
We believe it's his brother. I'm not sure. It's another unknown male, but we believed it was the brother at the time.
And was there two leave or did three leave? Other family members.
Two.
Two left.
Father stayed on scene during, I believe, at that point. I'm not sure.
At what point, and did the suspect in the case also leave at the same time?
At that point, that the appellant was a suspect.
No. The suspect in the assault.
He had their vehicle pulls out of the Ansonia Police Department.
When you say there,
parking lot.
No.
Meaning their suspect, the vehicle that was shot at.
Yes.
Correct.
It pulls out.
Correct.
And that had the suspect in the assault.
Correct.
That pulls out.
Yep.
And you have video of a gray or Chevy Malibu following it.
Correct. Right behind it.
Right behind
within
it.
Within seconds.
And approximately 30 minutes later, in Derby?
Correct.
In Derby. What transpires there?
So...
And you have video of the incident?
We have video from two houses down.
Yep.
We have a witness from directly across the street.
What occurs?
So they leave Ansonia Police Department, I believe, about 10:45.
Whoever leaves, what happens at the scene?
So we have the suspect vehicle that shot at, if you want to call it the black Honda.
Yep.
The black Honda, I believe it was, pulls onto a one-way section of Minerva Street. The suspect in the sex assault is dropping off his friend that was also arrested by Ansonia. So he was at Ansonia PD to bond him out. He was not there for the sex assault as a suspect.
Yep.
Bonds out his friend. His friend lives on Minerva Street at number 200. He pulls up to drop him off. Chevy Malibu pulls up. Driver exits the vehicle, fires two shots, takes off. The friend that was just bonded out by the suspect exits the vehicle, goes in his house. Nobody calls us.
How were you made aware of the shooting?
witnesses.
Okay, so someone calls
911. Meaning nobody involved in the shooting.
Yeah, somebody calls 911, you respond. Correct. You said was there either shell casings or bullet fragments?
We locate 3 7.62 ammunition rounds, which would be fired from a assault rifle.
Yep. And you said, were any 7.62 by 39, I'm assuming?
Correct.
And were any of those shell casings found at the residence at the search warrant?
No, only 223s.
Okay. Were you able to identify the firearm that the suspect of shooting used?
Only
you alluded to that it was an AR-15.
Only an AR-15 because that's consistent with what the image should be fired with, a long gun, assault rifle. The casings that were revealed and located on scene.
It's usually like an AK-47, not an AR-15. Most AR-15s are either 5.56, 223. That's why I'm just asking that. Just
unknown what the vehicle weapon type was that.
You said AR-15 in your testimony. I don't
correct.
Know if you identified the
correct.
Firearm from the video.
Correct.
In other words, you didn't.
I did not.
You couldn't tell what it was.
No, the only time I was able to determine AR-15 was the social media video of him at the range.
Yep. And you didn't find any 7.62 in the search warrant.
Correct.
No, that's all right.
Another question by the board?
What was the outcome of the case?
Still open.
Okay. So no arrest?
No arrests have been made.
Warrant filed? No?
No.
Okay, so just...
After the search warrant was conducted, executed, that was the last point.
And that was 2017?
Correct.
So, I'm trying to count. It's been a long day. 6 years later?
Correct.
Okay.
Other questions? Any follow-up?
No.
Have you guys seen...
Oh, go ahead.
Any incidents since this time? With the appellant?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
not in Derby, not that I'm aware of. Correct.
Okay.
Any other witnesses? Okay, counsel.
Could we ask questions?
I don't think you can.
Okay.
It's his case.
It's his case.
Okay. So we're going to go to appellant's side, and if you want to cross, if he calls him, I don't know if he.
I know he's represented here, but you said he's got a pending or open case.
No.
Jeopardy. No, he said it was still open.
The investigation.
Right.
Exactly. But
he's sitting with counsel. So.
Yeah. Okay. As long as you're counsel.
And that's more than 5 years ago anyway, so I think the statute would have run.
Maybe. I'm not going to make that call.
But yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
We would call the applicant.
Okay.
He's already sworn in. How old are you, sir?
I'm 26.
How can you speak up, sir?
I am 26.
And what do you currently do for a living?
I work for the town of Stratton.
And how long have you worked for the town of Stratton?
8 years, going on 9 in October.
And what is your job right now?
I am a parks maintainer 1.
And what does that entail?
I take care of every field, ball field, town building. I plow, I do leaves. Pretty much take care of the whole town.
And is that what you always did, or what did you do when you first started?
No, for 2 years when I first started back in 2016, after I graduated high school, I did sanitation. And then 2 years after that, I got promoted to Parks and Rec. I was a laborer for them. And about 6-7 months ago, I got promoted to Parks and Rec.
And you have no criminal convictions, correct?
No, I do not.
And you have 1 arrest in your life?
I do.
And it's that sex assault case we
yes.
talked about? And When you filled your application, you indicated you had been the subject of a protective order. Was that the protective order that was issued? Were you referring to the protective order that was issued in Bridgeport Court in connection with that case?
I was.
So aside from that case, you've had no involvement with the criminal system?
No, not at all.
Let me start with the end. There was you heard testimony that you had some social media picture of you with an AR-15 at some unknown range. Mm-hmm. Can you just explain that?
Yes, that was in Pennsylvania. My boy, best friend growing up with, his father has a firearm license, CCW, and I go down there every year to visit, and he has the guns, and we would go to the shooting range, and he would let us shoot the guns.
And that's where the picture came from?
That's that video on Instagram where he's talking, the detective is talking about, and that's the video.
Okay. And with respect to the search that occurred at your house where there was some ammo and some bulletproof vests located, where, do you recall where those were found?
I do not.
Okay. Who else was living in the house at the time?
At the time, it was me, my brother, my sister.
Your brother who?
Fatice.
Okay.
My older brother, Jordan.
Okay.
My mom, my dad, my grandmother, and I believe at that time it was my nephew. Was this before? My nephew and my niece were still living there. I think this was before the search.
I think this was after. I don't know. Okay.
2021, I think this was. The
search?
The sexual assault one. Whatever it is.
Okay, that's fine.
And my grandmother, sorry.
And did you ever shoot at any cars in your life?
I have never shot another car.
By the way, the allegation with your sister in Ansonia, to your knowledge, what came of that investigation, that allegation?
The suspect got arrested and he went to jail for it.
He was convicted of that?
He was convicted of
something. Okay. But you had no involvement in shooting up his car?
I absolutely had no involvement in shooting up his car.
Can you? I can't hear you.
I absolutely had no involvement in shooting up his car.
And the you indicated, there was some testimony that you indicated during your police interview in connection with that allegation, sex assault allegation with your niece, that you had ADHD and bipolar disorder. When were you diagnosed with that or those things?
I was diagnosed at approximately 4 or 5 years old. I was diagnosed with ADHD and bipolar.
And when's the last time you received any kind of medication, treatment, or anything like that in connection with that diagnosis?
If I remember correctly, the last time I took any kind of medication for the ADHD was probably fifth grade. I haven't taken anything since.
And that was the lithium?
That was the lithium.
I'm sorry, what was the last part about
that? That was the lithium he was taking for ADHD.
That would be for bipolar disorder.
The medication I was on, lithium, I believe that's the only one I remember. It's lithium. It's the only
pill. A stimulant, methylphenidate, Ritalin.
No,
dextroamphetamine.
I only took lithium. The only reason I remember that is because I had went to a doctor for a regular checkup, uh-huh. And they had told me that it was shutting down my liver. So I had the doctor had to take me off and put me on. Actually, you're right. Abilify I was put on.
Okay, lithium is not metabolized by the liver, so it would not have any impact on the liver.
Maybe he went to a real estate doctor.
Maybe he did. But the point is, the last time you took any type of psychiatric medication was when you were in the fifth grade.
Sixth grade, yeah.
You're around 10 years old, something
10,
like that.
11 years old, yes.
Okay.
And I'm sure you recall the allegation by your niece against you that led to you being arrested, right? And just to confirm, did you do anything ever to your niece sexually or anything?
No, I have never done, touched anything sexual, harmed, or threatened my niece whatsoever.
And did you voluntarily go to the Trumbull Police Department and give a statement?
I did.
And that statement was video recorded, audio recorded?
It was.
And did you voluntarily let the police come to your house?
Actually, I had no idea they were coming, but when they came, oh, you're talking about when the search warrant came?
No, with connection with her, forget the search warrant. That's a different,
they came for the warrant to arrest me for that. They came twice. The first time, okay. To arrest me.
Did you voluntarily allow them into the house to take pictures of the house?
Oh, yes, I did. Okay. I told them they were more than welcome to walk around the house and look at everything.
Okay.
I even gave them my phone.
That's right. You gave up your phone without a search warrant, correct?
They asked me if I was willing to, and I handed it right to the detectives.
Forgot about that. And do you recall what during the pendency of the criminal case? Obviously, I was your attorney at that time, right? And do you say you got to say a lot?
Oh yes, sorry.
Do you recall that at one point the state's attorney's office was offering you a misdemeanor disposition?
I do.
And what was your response to that?
I told them no deal. I wouldn't take it. There's no reason.
And why wouldn't you take a deal?
Because I was innocent. I did nothing wrong.
And again, aside from that arrest, you've had no involvement in the criminal system, correct?
No, not at all.
And I think I have nothing further.
Okay. Sen, do you have any cross?
Yeah, if I could ask the appellant a question. November of 2017, how old were you at that time?
2017, I was 19.
Okay, 19 years old, you're being an adult, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You had the bedroom, which
I did.
Was searched. Did anybody else reside in the bedroom?
No, but I did share a closet with my older brother.
Okay, and how old is your older brother?
At that time?
Yeah.
He's 10 years older than me, so I was 17, so probably 27.
Okay. So the bullets that were located in your room and the bulletproof vests, how you wouldn't have no knowledge of them being in your bedroom that you commonly share with your brother?
Not at all.
That you're the only one that stays in there, but you share a closet?
Share a closet, yeah.
Okay. Do you frequently go into the closet?
No.
No?
I use drawers.
Okay. At the age of 19, you know, obviously you're in your room, bullets and a bulletproof vest. I mean, inviting a juvenile is probably not a good thing. It's probably against the law, I would imagine.
I guess so. I mean, anything else?
Board have questions of the appellant. Seeing none, do you have any other witnesses, counsel?
No. Yes, I do. I have. You can step aside. He can step aside for a minute.
Sure.
This is his girlfriend.
Okay, can we get her name?
Kirsten.
M-A-N-E-S. M-A-N-E-S.
Kirsten, K-I-R-S as in Sam, T-Y-N as in Nancy.
And your last name?
Mains, M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy, E-S as in Sam.
And you took the oath?
Yes.
Okay.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Where do you live?
I live in Hamden, Connecticut.
And how old are you?
I'm 23 years old.
And do you work?
Yes, I do.
What do you do for work?
I am currently employed at a daycare in Trumbull, and I am part-time there. I'm also a full-time student at Western, graduating this May.
What do you bachelor's?
My bachelor's in science.
What's the bachelor's going to be in?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. What field do you is your degree going to be in?
Science. Just public health.
Oh. And what's your connection to the appellant?
He is my boyfriend. We will be together for 4 years in August.
You've been together with him almost 4 years.
Yes.
And do you know him to have any kind of violent tendencies? How would you describe him?
He is honestly the most supportive, level-heading person I've ever met in my entire life. I am a sexual assault victim, and I have had my fair trial, and he's supported me the entire way. He is he's just awesome. Like, I've never met someone like him in my entire life. I'm very friendly with the Rape Crisis Center in Milford. They obviously hold an event every year, Walk a Mile in Her Shoes. He's attended the last two. And he is trusting, I mean, you name it. You think about, like, the qualities in a man that you want to raise your kids with one day, and he has them all. And I've never had that before. I was in an abusive relationship before him. He was very, supportive in me and what I went through. And I think he's hardworking. He gives really good advice. I mean, he does things like give money to homeless people, which, I mean, I find it something I don't do. I'm not really like that big of a person on that. But, like, he does it because he cares. And, like, I'm sorry, but if you're going to sit there and say that, like, you think that he did this based off of an assumption or whatever, like, you don't know him. Like, and it's so sad, and I'm sorry you guys don't know this, but what he said about the previous, the whatever, I don't know his name, that's not true. He said a statement saying that when most sexual assault victims say, have their story, it's often corroborated or whatever the word he used. That's not true, and I'm sorry, but that statement should have costed him his entire career. That's why people don't come forward. And I wouldn't have come forward, and I honestly wouldn't have testified or had a closing statement if it wasn't for my boyfriend. He gave me that comfort level of being able to sit there in the courtroom and be someone I can lay my eyes on. That's someone who's level-headed. That's someone who is not going to do anything to harm someone. We watch he has a godson, and he watches his godson voluntarily. Like, what? I mean, he's great. Like, overall, I wouldn't want anyone else raising my future kids.
Ross, or have questions for the witness? Seeing none, do you have other witnesses?
No.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement, counsel?
They go first, or?
I'll go first.
Yeah. First of all, I just met this young lady. I didn't know any of this stuff, so. I can't be a character witness, but I've known this young man since going back to 2017, and everything she said comports with my feeling about him. He's got a brother who's had a lot of issues, who's actually turned his life around too recently. But this kid is, everything she said is the impression I've got from this kid from day one. And like I said, for a kid at that age, 19 years old, to hang tough against facing that kind of crime and hang in there and not take any kind of deal, I think it says everything about the nature, the validity of the allegations and about him. His work, he was working during the criminal case. I had to try to stretch the court dates out because he was a probationary worker. He didn't want to lose that job, that opportunity, that career, and he's making the best of it. I think he's a perfect candidate. I don't think the attempt to generate some smoke creates nearly enough concern or reason not to let this young man have his pistol permit. So I'd ask the board to uphold his appeal.
Counsel, Lieutenant, would you like to make a closing statement?
Okay, the appellant turned in their signed and notarized pistol permit application where the appellant indicated being arrested by the issuing authority and charged with risk of injury to a minor, disorderly conduct, second-degree threatening, and third-degree sexual assault. The appellant also indicated that within the past 5 years, the appellant had been a subject of a protective order, a restraining order, issued by the court in a case involving the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another person, regardless of the outcome or results of any criminal case. The issuing authority has first-hand knowledge of the arrest, as mentioned by the appellant, regarding various charges to include the sexual assault of the appellant's 10-year-old relative and the case where the issuing authority assisted the nearby police department with the execution of a search warrant at the appellant's residence regarding the shooting of an assault-type rifle where the appellant was named as a shooter, indicated as a shooter, and various types of ammunition and bulletproof vests were seized. Based on the history of the appellant with the issuing authority and nearby police department, their acts of violence against others to include children and their own family members, and stated that the appellant has ADHD and bipolar disorder, the appellant's character is shown to be concerning and not showing proper suitability to be legally or morally issued a pistol permit. Therefore, the issuing authority denied the appellant's pistol permit on July 13, 2021, based on suitability, crimes of violence against others, and previous history. Even though there may be no official criminal record for the appellant, that does not prove that there is no history of criminal actions or violence. So the issuing authority believes that the denial of the appellant's pistol permit is justified based on suitability, previous crimes against persons, the appellant's previous criminal investigations involving sex crimes, and illegal reckless use of firearm and omissions of medical and psychological factors that were made to the issuing authority. All are red flags which cause alarm and concern for the safety of others. Based on the previous investigations and testimonies, the issuing authority could not comfortably, logically, nor morally issue a pistol permit to anyone that's a criminal and mental history, such as the appellant.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Sure, this is a denial by the Trumbull Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial is an investigation conducted by the Trumbull Police Department in May of 2017, in which a family member of the appellant alleged that she was sexually assaulted. There was a complaint lodged, DCF investigated, a forensic interview was done, and an arrest warrant was completed and submitted by the Trumbull Police Department for sexual assault third, risk of injury to minor, threatening, and one other charge. The defendant, though all those charges were ultimately nollied and then ultimately dismissed, and the Trumbull Police Department also brought up an investigation they assisted with that was initiated by the Derby Police Department regarding a shooting that occurred in their town. A search warrant was initiated at the residence of the appellant, in which body armor and some ammunition was found. The allegation was that the appellant may have been involved in a retaliatory shooting based on an assault that occurred to the appellant's sister. No firearm was seized. The ammunition was seized did not match the ammunition that was part of the shooting, and no arrests were made in that case. The appellant has no criminal history. He's worked for the town of Stratford for, I believe, at least 7 years now.
Okay. Comments by the board?
I just wanted to say that there doesn't appear to be any substantial evidence to support any mental health issue. If someone had bipolar disorder diagnosed in childhood and was not receiving active treatment, it's inconsistent with the complainant's presentation here today. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank
from
you.
My perspective.
Other comments?
I just have a question. What town is the appellant?
Trumbull. The same house.
And I thought of it earlier, I just didn't get a chance to ask. Sorry.
Hopefully a new house.
Other comments?
The charges were serious. The initial, from the May of 2017, charges were serious, yet those charges were dismissed. The appellant actually didn't even have to list them on his application. He wasn't required to do so. The only thing he was required to do to list on his application was that he had been subject to a protective restraining order. As far as the shooting in Derby, no ammunition that matched the shooting there. There's no firearm found. Even in, I believe, the description was that the shooter was approximately 5'8". In one of the reports I saw, it's taller than that. But and there was an allusion, the issuing authority alluded to the fact that ammunition in the body armor at the appellant's, because he was 19, was some type of violation. I don't know what that violation would have been in 2017. There was not in 2017, so there's nothing illegal about that. Just him having body armor at that point.
Other comments? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
Helen.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
Appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig. Chair votes appellant. Thank you all.
Thank you all. Nice to meet you.